Welcome. This is Roger Shouse, and with me is my fellow preacher, Jason Harden, and this is a special Sunday edition of our Heaven Bound podcast. Because of current situations with the corona flu virus, our shepherds have decided not to have services for health risk this Sunday. And so we want to offer you something as you can listen, as you worship at home, something for you to think about, something for you to consider, and to understand still we have a God who loves us, a God who's worthy to be worshiped, and a God that we need to give our heart to as we think about this day.
We're doing our best here to provide as much as we can on relatively short notice, but we're very thankful to have a variety of different tools, resources available. We're trying to make the best use of those. And what we have in our minds, at least, is that you would gather the family together in the living room around the kitchen table, and that you would take advantage of these resources. It is still the Lord's Day, even though this has been an extraordinary week in our community and in the life of our church family. Still the Lord's Day, and we want to do everything that we can to honor Him.
There's always questions that come up in extreme times like this. Why is this happening? Why is God allowing this to happen? And we are actually going down some new roads we've never been down before. I mean, it's not uncommon for a congregation to have to cancel services because of snow, but that's usually just a one-time event, one service. We don't know how long it's going to last. We don't know if we've seen the worst of it yet. And so those are all kinds of questions that bring up, and as we're seeing in our community, we see fear and panic and all kinds of things like this. Historically, this is nothing to God. I mean, this is something that's we see even through the pages of the Bible or pages of our history book. There have been wars. There has been earthquakes. There has been famines. And yet God has remained. God is worthy of being worshiped. And on this Lord's Day, that's what we need to do. Our focus is not on the virus, it's not on the fear, it's not on the problem, but the focus is upon the God who still remains upon the throne. And that's what we want to look at and kind of put before you as you think about this wonderful occasion to worship with your family and to set before even the little ones some example that although we cannot gather as a church today, we can still honor God from where we are.
If you've been following along with our daily Bible reading, you know that we are right in the heart of the book of Job. And there's a whole lot of why asking. And it is, while it is taking us a while to work through some of these theories of Job's friends, most all of us, if you've read the book of Job, you know how that book concludes, that by the time we get to chapter 38, the Lord answers not only Job's friends, but Job himself. And he asks in Job 38, verse 2, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge?" There's going to continue to be lots of people who tell us, you know, this is exactly why this is happening. This is my theory as to how long this is going to last. And this is what I think all the ramifications are. One of the great lessons of the book of Job is we need to be very careful talking about things that we really don't know. And at the very top of the list is we need to be careful talking about God. Let's make sure that we talk about Him in ways that are respectful, and we stay humble. And on this first day of the week, we do everything still in a unique way to honor Him.
You know, a couple of Bible references that come to our mind, one from the Old Testament, and that's Daniel. Daniel has gone through the Babylonian captivity. In chapter 6, Persians are now taking over. There's a decree that you cannot pray, and there's Daniel praying. He's alone. He can't be with his brethren as he worships God, but God is still God. God is still the one who hears us. God is still upon the throne. God's the one who still blesses us and forgives us. And so whether we are isolated, we're apart from each other, God still deserves the best that we can give Him. And that's a great reminder of that. The other example that comes to our mind is in the book of Acts in chapter 16. There we have Paul and Silas, and they have been arrested. They've first of all been beaten. They're thrown into a prison. The prison obviously is dark. It's not a suitable place for any human being basically to live. And the Bible tells us in that chapter of Acts 16, verse 25, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. What an easy opportunity for them to think, you know, we're not with the congregation now. We're just going to check out until we get out. And just say, you know, I'm on vacation. I'm away from my people. I'm by myself. And I'm just not going to do anything. But what we find in that example is God was still worthy to be prayed to, still worthy to be praised during songs and hymns. And what we see in that wonderful example there is here's two men in this prison cell. And what they were doing was they were worshiping God. And so today may be a really unique opportunity for your family. It may be your little ones have never seen you worship at home. And why are we doing this? And there may be thousands of questions come to their minds about this great opportunity to help them, to lead them, and to remind them whether we are in a church building, whether we're on vacation, whether we're at home and we just cannot meet with our church family, God still deserves our heart. God's still worthy of being praised.
This isn't like a snow day from school. You know, with snow days, it's a little out of the ordinary, and, you know, everybody just hangs around at home. Let's just sit and watch Netflix all day and, you know, just have a lazy, self-centered sort of day. The reason that we are not at home is we're doing our best to love our neighbors as ourselves. Sometimes that involves working to protect the most vulnerable among us. We have heard from our own governor and from a variety of health professionals all over the place that large gatherings can very, very easily help this virus to spread. We're not doing this. I think it's important to get out there. We're not doing this because we're afraid. It's not that in any way we feel like this is greater than our God. Our God reigns. And so we are absolutely confident of that. We're doing this to try and not only protect the members of our church family, but also to help our community get over this just as quickly as possible. And so we want to make sure that we keep all of that in perspective. But to your point, Roger, earlier, there's good that can come from this. We know that there was good that came in that jail in Philippi. Even though Paul and Silas are down there in the depths, they're singing. There is this great earthquake, as you mentioned. And the jailer, who was asleep, he wakes up. He sees that the prison doors are open. He's ready to draw his own sword. But before he's able to do anything, Paul wants to make sure he hears, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer calls for lights. He rushes in. He's trembling with fear. He falls down before Paul and Silas, and he's got a question. It is the question. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul and Silas didn't want to be in that prison, but by being there and being the right sort of examples, tremendous good, life-changing, eternity-altering good came as a result.
And I would add to that also, by the very statement that the prisoners were all there, they likely heard a worship that they had never heard before. Most of them probably were just rough people. That's why they're in prison. And they're hearing Paul and Silas praying, and not just saying the words, but fervently praying. They see these two guys who are wounded and have been beaten. And rather than cursing the world, they're praising the God of heaven. And what an impact this had upon the prisoners. And again, as we think about this concept and really the blessing of what you get to do this morning is the idea that your children see that God is first. We talk about that, but this is a great way to demonstrate that. Here we are at home, and we could just put on the movies and spend the day, as Jason said, in our jammies and have a good old day. But we're going to spend some time. We're going to honor God. We're going to think about him. We're going to pray. We're going to sing. We're going to take the Lord's Supper. Why? Because nothing has changed except the location. And we are still going to honor God this way. In the book of 1 John, chapter 4, John would tell us, "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who's in the world." The he who's in you is God. The he who's in the world, first and foremost, would be Satan, but it'd be problems. It could even be a coronavirus. God is greater than these things. And this is why we emphasize the idea of worshiping God. Worshiping God is something we don't do just on Sunday. It's an everyday event as we honor him, walk with him, follow him, talk to him, and just love him as he wants us to. Now, when John said this in the book of 1 John chapter 4, we remind ourselves this was back in the first century. This was a long, long time ago. This is before the American Civil War, World War I, World War II, Great Depressions, the Iraq-Iran troubles we've had. This is before Corona. God is greater in us than he who's in the world. God hasn't changed. He has never changed. And so as we think about worshiping, we worship a powerful, loving God. We worship the God of heaven and earth. We worship the God that can move mountains. We worship the God that parted seas. We worship God that raised the dead. We worship the God that sent Jesus to die for our sins. Awesome is our God. Our God is an amazing God. And as we think about that concept, that'll help us on this very day to realize wherever I am, I need to give some time to God because he has sure given me the best.
And maybe this setting, as strange as it is to most all of us, very unique, maybe it can be a kind of jump start to some personal habits at home that we haven't been participating in. You know, if you have not been in the habit of praying at home, let this be a kind of jump start to that. If you haven't been opening the Bible and reading it at home, what a great opportunity, good that can come even from a little bit of an extraordinary circumstance. You know, Roger, you were talking about history. I think back to Revelation chapter 21, near at the very end of the Bible, and how the description of the new Jerusalem, the heavenly home that we are looking forward to. You know, we spend a lot of time on this podcast talking about being heaven bound. I think about how the description of that new Jerusalem would have landed to people who knew what it was to be very vulnerable. I think that's maybe one of the reasons that people of my age and younger have kind of a shell-shocked way of looking at all of this. We have led very comfortable lives in this country for a very, very, very long time. The idea of an invasion of any sorts is just a theoretical idea for a whole lot of people, Christians included. But you think about how first century Christians would have been impacted by hearing about this new Jerusalem in Revelation chapter 21. John begins that chapter by saying, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." He goes on to describe it in a variety of different ways, but I would just skip down to verse 22 especially. John says, "I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the sea the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light the nations will walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut, and there will be no night there. He says in verse 27, nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Can you imagine for a people 2,000 years ago who knew what it was to have gates burned and walls destroyed and foreign invaders, how precious this would be, looking forward to a city that has foundations whose builder and maker is God.
This is the description of God's home. And this is something they long for. And this is something that would motivate them, keep them on focus, and keep them heaven bound, as we've talked about so often in our podcast here. Is that idea that tough times come and go, trouble comes and goes, but God lasts. God is what is eternal. And God has always been there. He was there for Abraham. He was there for Moses. He was there for Paul. And he's there for you and I. And that's a great hope that we have as we study today, as we worship today, as we sing praises today, the idea that God is worthy of all these things. You know, often when you have a small family, it's very easy to get in the habit of having the little ones always say the prayer. And their prayers are cute. You know, they'll pray for dandelions and birds and all kinds of things like that. And it's cute. But what a wonderful occasion for them to see Dad taking the lead and leading the family in a serious, heartfelt prayer. Prayer that these times will pass. Prayer for safety of all people worldwide. A prayer that we can get back together as a church family and be together as God wants us to be. A prayer for the safety of all of us. A prayer for his very children that are listening to him, that they'll grow and that they'll love the Lord and follow him. And to see that example by Dad, these are things that I believe in the children's hearts and children's memories that will stay with them for a long, long time. What we're going through is unusual. And we remember unusual times. We remember Blizzard of 78. We remember 9/11. We remember difficult and unusual things. And this will be one of those things. And what the family may remember years from now, even decades from now, is I remember being at home and Mom and Dad worshiping when I was a little one, and we sang and we prayed and we listened, we read in our Bible. Mom and Dad took the Lord's Supper, and boy, that was just showed me how much they loved Jesus.
Prayer is our greatest weapon of all. We're thankful for the advancements that we enjoy in this country medically. We're so very thankful for the doctors and nurses and various people who are out there on the front lines serving. We would encourage you to pray for them. Pray for the members of our church family. You know, you're talking about various things that a young family can do. Maybe getting the directory out and just praying by name for some of those in our church family who are maybe in that higher risk category, checking on each other this week. There are still certainly ways that we can serve. We're dedicating this as the Lord's Day, and we want to do our best to be light and love and truth and compassion in the world this week. Roger, obviously we're going to take this week by week, day by day. Lord willing, tomorrow there will be a Jump Starts Daily on Monday, as is typical. You and I are certainly planning on having a Wednesday episode. It will be a little different than, you know, a typical week, but certainly we will continue to be in touch with you and for members of our Charlestown Road family, especially. Our elders have determined that there will be another update for us Lord willing, on Thursday. We appreciate you taking the time to listen. We hope that the resources we've been able to put together have been helpful to you. We love you, and we would want you to know that we're praying for you, and we humbly ask that you continue to pray for us and for all. These may be very unusual times, unusual circumstances, but it's still Sunday, and Sunday is still the best day of the week, not simply because we're able to gather together, but because of our Lord, the Lord of the first day of the week, and our Lord every single day.